FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today's May 30th, 2018. Hey, as always, I invite you to participate in the show. The best part of my day is waking up in the morning, looking at your emails and responding. Get a little snowed under at times. You know, there's tens of thousands of people listening to this, so understand if I'm a little late responding. I just found a couple of emails from 2017, believe it or not, that never got answered. But hey, as always, better late than never. And maybe that's the case for the current recovery, especially in employment. Better late than never. Got Brad Williams with us. Brad, financial wizard authority. If you want to go to Brad's site, it's askbradwilliams.com. Brad, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for having me again.
So we're actually seeing tighter labor conditions. And what's interesting, what I find interesting about it, Brad, to reading what you wrote, is that the number of people available for the open jobs has gone way down. You quote a statistic going back a few years that originally there were 6.5 people or more per job available. Now it's down to almost one job. What do you make of all this?
Well, a lot of companies are hiring. We're seeing a more loose regulatory environment, so companies are willing to expand now after a lot of pent-up demand. The issue we're seeing in the job market, though, is we're not seeing wages. You know, normally when the job market heats up, wages start heating up because people are having to compete for workers. And we're not seeing a tremendous amount of that now. There's a lot of issues with worker skills not being up to par. And I think that's a direct, we can lay that at the doorstep of our school systems, our public school systems. But we're also seeing a lot of people who aren't fully retiring, and that's tying up jobs. It's also one of the factors in the numbers as far as wages not rising or staying depressed, because these are the people in their highest earning years, but yet they're not, their gross pay is down, but they're still earning the same amount per hour, if you want to calculate it that way. They're just not ready to go full-blown retirement and start living off their nest egg because interest rates are so low.
Well, isn't it also a cultural change in society? Look, we all know the cliche guy works for a company 30 years, not that that happens that much, gets his gold watch, and 2 months later, you know, dies because he's got no life, got nothing to do. It seems to me that boomers, of which I am proudly or unproudly one of them, their concept, your concept of retirement, has greatly evolved over the years. Many of you out there don't want to retire fully. And even if it means taking a job less than what you're qualified for, you're still working because you realize it's an important component of your retirement life, your so-called, your later life, because it's staying current, it's social. A lot of work is social. We never even really talk about that, Brett, but you're really thinking that, hey, I don't want to withdraw from the workforce. I want to remain relevant. And that's something that we've really never seen before. I mean, my parents, I think they looked forward to the day they were going to retire. My grandparents certainly did. And things have definitely changed.
I agree. My dad was a great role model, hard worker, taught me a great work ethic. And he went into his second career after retirement and ended up being a crisis counselor, director of from a big church. And at 86, he just retired last year.
Amazing.
He actually finally just called it a day at 86. So 80, and I'm seeing a lot more of my clients stay in that workforce for the reasons you outlined. It is a social thing. And some of your closest buddies are the buddies at work. And a lot of people forget about that. When you just call it off and go home, that's not healthy for a lot of people because you're isolating yourself.
So you might not realize it, but the crash of 08 economically changed things. And that might be good for you because your life will be richer, better, more satisfying, more fulfilling than it would have been if you just kind of retired off to Florida and are in the rocking chair in God's waiting room, if you will.
Yeah, and you know, I think we're also starting to see the effect of the decline in pensions. Because I'm a baby boomer. I was born in 57. And, you know, I think back at that time, something like 56, 57% of companies or people were covered by some sort of pension. And that has declined dramatically. I mean, it's probably down in the low teens now, if even that. And so it used to be you retired, you had a check coming in, you had Social Security coming in, you lived a little off your savings. But I think over the last 15 years or so, as companies have really just gotten out of the pension business, people are starting to look at their retirement different because they don't have that guaranteed income anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And you're probably a little concerned. We're the same age. We were both born in 57, by the way. And you're looking at Social Security saying, yeah, they'll probably keep writing the checks, but how much will the checks be worth? And so it's economic necessity, but I think there's more to it than economic necessity. I think if you really want to retire, you can always make lifestyle changes that enable you to live within some type of means. I think that the concept of work has just changed. The concept of being on an assembly line, Brad, stamping out widgets one after the other, totally changed. And that's not just for the white-collar employees. It's the blue-collar, working-class type people as well realize that there is a value to this that may have been overlooked by our parents or some of them, not yours, obviously. I think there's a lot more to it. So let's talk about these job numbers, what you're seeing here, because it's a rather unique perspective. So wages going up like a couple of percent, 2.5%, 3%, a lot more for supervisors than for line workers. What are you gleaning from these numbers here?
Well, normally in a hot job market like we're supposedly in, you would start to see that wage pull the inflation. And we're not seeing that now because of the nature of things. You know, we've had a lot of skilled workers come from overseas on special visas, and we've seen wages decline due to that because they're willing to work for a lower wage. We're seeing, in my case, as I mentioned, my clients that are working three quarters and part time just to keep a hand in and stay busy. That's causing that wage to go. So and so when you have all these baby boomers that are retiring or near retire or partial retiring, those are your highest income workers, ostensibly, and they're being followed by people who logically are not making as much because they don't have the experience. And I think that's demonstrating, or I should say that's an indication of why the wages aren't going up as they are.
Interesting. So we do have this kind of wage trap here, wage stagnation. But hey, one thing, Trump's policies probably cutting down somewhat on the additional supply of illegal workers and perhaps deporting a number of people who have jobs already. So maybe that aspect of
we may see that reverse.
Yeah.
Right.
So maybe we're seeing
stricter, a lot of the policies coming out now, for example, on the lower end of the wage scale. In Alabama, we have a lot of immigrant workers because there's a lot of chicken plants and things like that, that a lot of those jobs are taken by them as the immigration situation is getting stricter. They're finding it harder to find workers, too. Mm. And so that's an issue. And I think what it's driving is as they do welfare reform, that a lot of these people that have been sitting at home letting immigrants do the work need to go to the job.
Sure.
Again.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We see that a lot. And there's just so much more to this than anybody can really just make an assumption about. really. It's a different world and it's a different economy than what you and I grew up in.
You're exactly right. We all remember when you invested money, and we're an investor society now. That's another different thing. When you think about my grandfather, when he retired from Procter & Gamble in 1964, the majority of his retirement came from his pension and from Social Security. Yeah, he had some money saved in a bank, you know, probably earning 5-6% in a CD, and had a few stocks here and there. But his income wasn't driven from his investment portfolio. It was driven from other sources, where we've seen that shift where companies move from the defined benefit to the defined contribution end of it, you know, from pensions to 401ks. Now the responsibility is on the worker to take care of the retirement. So now we have an investor class as baby boomers that the generation that came before us weren't like we are. So we're more attuned to outliving our nest egg than they were, because we're not relying on a company's pension. We're relying on our own experience.
That's a great point that you make. One other point you make in your writings there is that the skilled workers or lack thereof that our educational system's producing is also causing a lot of problems for companies looking to hire skilled workers.
Yes, it is. In fact, even in colleges, I was reading recently that they're having to take a year or two to get these students up to college level, because they're graduating from high school without sufficient skills to make it in college. So they're having to take them through remedial studies just to get them up to speed to where they should have been. And I think the whole adage, I think we're seeing another trend change in that a lot of people are starting to take a second look at college, because college, when my father was in the 50s, went to Naval Academy, it was a different thing. He graduated with a degree in engineering. And when you went to college, you were getting a business degree or an engineering degree or some technical type skill that could be translated into a job, which is why college graduates had such high placement ratios. And now you can go to college and get a degree in Middle Eastern basket weaving and then wondering why when you graduate with a $50,000 student loan, you can't find a job.
Yeah, funny how that works.
And, yeah. And so what I did a radio interview a while back where I was talking about that. That was a specific conversation. And what people need to do to go forward is look at if their child or grandchild is getting ready to enter into college, what is their degree going to be, and what does that translate into income, and how easy is it going to be to find a job? And so if it's going to be tough, maybe they need to look at going to school part-time and working their way through school and not taking a bunch of student loans, because in my opinion, I think the colleges have turned it into a racket because the government – you know, raises the student loan limits and they raise their tuition, and it's like this vicious circle. And the only people that are getting rich are the universities, and people are, you know, something like 40-something% of the people with student loans didn't even graduate.
Yeah, the so-called.
So that's another issue. I know that's not on the topic, but yeah, that affects the economy.
Yeah, the so-called nonprofit universities seem to be all about the money. And, you know, what you're implying here is something that I've noticed greatly because of the rapid escalation in the price of college education. When you and I graduated, I went to a fairly okay college. My total tuition, not including room and board, but just tuition because I worked as well, was about $15,000 for 4 years. And that was
right.
That was, you know, pretty much average.
Fairly average.
Right?
Yeah.
And now look at it, and these kids are going to have to pay like $100,000 for an okay education. So the return on investment is much more drawn out, much longer than the return would be when you and I graduated.
You're exactly right. And I remember, you know, when you said that, it brought back my first two colleges. I went to a junior college and it was like $150 a quarter for my tuition,
yeah,
you know,
right.
And that was back in 1975.
Yeah.
And I just 3 years ago, my daughter graduated from Auburn. I put her through and she did really good, got a degree in mathematics, but it was about $25,000 a year out the door, if not a little more, with expenses and everything else to get her through. And I got her out with no student loans, which I was proud of, but she did the 4 year plan in 4 years, which I was equally proud of.
Yeah.
And she, even her, is, she's very attractive. She is smart as a whip and got a great personality. She struggled to find a job with a degree in mathematics in a high tech community like we have. Now she got one and she's moved up pretty quick, but, she started at a pretty low wage for her first year.
Oh, I believe it. I know.
So the expectations need to be set correctly. So I can't even imagine what would have happened to her if she had taken student loans to get through that and then had to deal with the job market she dealt with. She wouldn't have had any money. No, she wouldn't have been able to buy a car, house, anything. That's why a lot of these people are delaying entering into adulthood, is because they're coming out from under that student debt, which, by the way, can't be discharged in bankruptcy.
Yeah, you know it. I always talk about that from my background as a recovering attorney. Hey, so the other thing I tell people is, look, you want to go to a good school, that's fine. Start, have your kids start out taking a lot of AP courses if they're a good student in high school, because those credits transfer to to college. And then start out at the community college. They don't call them juniors anymore. They call them community colleges.
Right.
We have to be, you know, politically correct here, Brad. You know, junior has a, it used to have a real negative connotation. Now it makes sense. So the other thing is, go to the junior college, overload credits, take more than you need, because any state school that you go to, and sometimes it goes across borders, are mandatorily must accept credits from that junior college. So you might only be stuck with like a year and a half at a senior college, where even to this day, there are a lot of junior colleges or community colleges that are close to free in New York, in other places, or the credits are like unbelievably economical, $50 per credit. So you go there, you get half your credit load taken care of, and your price of completing the rest just went down dramatically.
Yeah, and like my son-in-law had to extend, this is another racket the colleges get into, he had to extend his degree out because he had to take a class that was mandatory for his degree that was only offered like once or twice a year.
Yeah, I know.
So everybody in that degree field was clamoring for it, and he had to stay another year to be able to get that class.
Does that sound like a little bit like a scam to you, Brad?
yeah.
I mean, that's so, like,
but you know, when the federal government subsidizes it with taxpayer money, you know, that's what you get.
We're on the same page. So summing up, job outlook, if you're graduating from a college or you're looking to improve your lot in your existing employment opportunity, where do you see it heading in the next couple of years?
Well, I think if you're focused on the type of degree that has marketability, then you're probably going to do all right. You just may be disappointed in your starting wage. For other people with no skills, I think the people that are hurt the most are the people that used to just get out of high school and go right to work for the factory at the other end of town on an assembly line, making a union wage or near union wage. And those jobs are being automated out of existence. And so
very true.
You got to really be looking at what you want to do with your life. And that's key.
I think you've hit upon a number of extremely important factors that make this economy much different than the one you and I graduated into. Hopefully under the new tax program, under a number of Trump policies, a lot more of you out there will consider about entrepreneurial pursuits, because, you know, being your own boss, there's a certain comfort to that, a certain satisfaction, and it could be your ticket, but you've got options. You just have to take advantage of them. Brad, just again, tell us what site we find you at.
Yeah. If you've got a financial question, you just ask Brad Williams. So go to askbradwilliams.com.
All right. Askbradwilliams.com. We'll have a link in the show notes to that site as always. And look, feel free to send us an email, send us your thoughts. The email address again for future reference, kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, and the Facebook page Financial Survival Network. Brett, thanks so much for coming back on the show and explaining this to us.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's a super important trend. We'll have you back again. Be well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.